Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 166. We're recording this on July 12th, 2021. Just a reminder, Guardians of the MCU is part of the Random Chatter Network. Please do check us out at randomchatter.com for information on all of our shows, membership through Patreon, and our show merchandise. I'm Tim. Joining me tonight, hosts are going to introduce themselves, and we hadn't figured out what order they're going to, so it's going to be a mess.
I'm Sheba.
I'm John.
And I'm Lizzie.
All right. It wasn't too bad, just some awkward silences, but we did okay. Good job, guys.
I'll play introduction chicken.
Let's see. So we are going to move pretty fast through this episode because our next episode, which we record right after this one, is our Black Widow spoiler review. So that's episode 167. Please be sure to check that one out. Again, it will be spoiler filled. We're going to talk all about Black Widow. But for now, on to our news. First up, a little bit of stuff on Black Widow. Black Widow has broken the pandemic era box office with about $215 million global. That includes $80 million domestic for the opening weekend. And Disney is circulating a number of about $60 million brought in by way of Disney Plus, which I think is pretty darn impressive. What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm. That is impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to see the number, especially the numbers doing well after a horrible 18 months.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not only a, you know, pretty impressive box office take, you know, given the last, you know, whatever, 18 months or so. But yeah, it's also that streaming number. And you guys know, we don't get a lot of streaming numbers. Mm-hmm. The companies simply don't release them. But Disney was like very upfront with this. They were very proud to release this number. It's a pretty significant number for them to put out. And it's encouraging. It's really encouraging. And it's, you know, quite a bit considering $80 million domestic for the box office, compared to $60 million for Disney Plus streaming.
Yeah.
That's I know, pretty darn close.
I know in Canada, we haven't opened up our theaters just yet. So, I mean, we have drive-ins and things like that, but yeah. Most people were relying on the Disney Plus thing. I know some people were like, yeah, I'm going to wait to see it when theaters open up. And I was like, no, I want to make sure that I can watch this opening weekend so that way the numbers can count. Because I know that that's usually when a movie I really like comes out.
Sure.
You know, make sure that I watch it when it comes out so that way the numbers can reflect that people want that kind of movie. So,
and I mean, had you not watched it, you would not be on episode 167 of Guardians of the MCU. We would have before we started that episode, I would have said, Sheba, bye. Yeah. Bye-bye.
I would have been like, ooh.
This is
okay.
Dedication.
I could never wait that long anyways. I'm like, I might watch Marvel movies opening weekend because then I'm like, somebody spoils it and I would get so angry. So don't worry, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm also grateful that Disney Plus exists and that Marvel released the movie there so that I could watch it.
Absolutely. Where did you guys contribute? Did we all watch it on Disney Plus? I did.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
Me too. Oh, I was planning on going to see it at the theaters, but because of like my just like situation of being at the beach with my family and like helping with my nephew who got his tonsils out today and like everything, like it just didn't work out to go. Mm-hmm. So I rented it for me and my brother and sister-in-law and we all watched it together at the beach.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Most people I know actually got it on Disney Plus. So, you know, I think that's good. It's, and of course we know that they are going to be ending, you know, the day and date releases, before the end of this year on Disney Plus, but hopefully this is also some encouragement that, you know, maybe if it's not day and date, maybe there's just like a week or two delay or something. because I would be totally into, there's certain movies I just simply wouldn't go to the theater to watch. But if they're going to give it to me for, you know, $20, if it's not a huge blockbuster, I'll watch it at home.
And it really helps.
The first one of the at-home rentals that I've rented. I haven't done any of the other Disney ones.
You haven't seen Cruella, or did you go to the theater to watch Cruella?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh my gosh, Cruella is freaking outstanding.
I
want to see it for the fashion.
it's so beautiful. The fashion is one thing, but like it had a good story too. And I'm not, a lot of the live actions I've been like, okay, they're fine. But this one, Cruella was great. But I've rented a lot of the other movies that have been coming out on Disney Plus just because. But I do, it would be nice to kind of have this, like you said, Tim, maybe a week later or, you know, a few days later or something like that. Just because sometimes people are busy and aren't able to go out to the theater, or, you know, if you have kids or if you've got a hectic schedule, maybe you work nights or you don't get out during the day and you have to run errands. So you don't get a chance to watch a movie. It would be nice to have it just available and you can watch it while you're doing work or while you're taking kids or something like that. So I don't know. It would be nice.
Have you guys caught the trailer for What If?
I did.
Yes.
John?
I did as well.
Yeah. John, what did you think?
So I love the comics. I'm waiting. I think this is going to be good. There was a line in there that Sheba and I talked about over on MCU TV of something about basically time and realities. They're all changeable or something along those lines. And I'm like, no, they're not. Sacred timeline. So I was like, is Loki going to resolve that? What are they doing with this? Because actually, What If can't exist because midway through each episode, the TVA would show up and prune all these people.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to this series. So by the way, this is going to be a 10 episode season. Don't know if we're going to get more seasons out of this, but this one is going to be 10 episodes and they're going to begin on Wednesday, August 11th, which is actually a couple weeks earlier than we had expected them to. We expected later in August. I got to say, I was never really a fan of the comic series of What If, but I'm very much looking forward to this. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I am kind of my curiosity, and John, picking up on exactly what you said, my curiosity here is, and of course I use the term very, very loosely when it comes to this stuff, is this going to be canonical in the fact that, in the essence that these are stories that happened in different timelines, but still within the broader sense of the MCU? Or are they just basically going to say, no, this really isn't canonical stuff. This is just us having fun. Because I think that's what makes a big difference relative to what you guys were talking about on MCU TV.
I thought, because after we talked about it, I was on TikTok and somebody was like, yes, it's canon. So I'm like, is it or isn't it? I don't know if the other person was just assuming or what, because I thought they said that it was canon. And I'd saved it because I was going to send it to John to be like, oh, we talked about this and somebody else is talking about it also. But now I've forgotten where it is. It's probably saved somewhere on my phone. And I can send it later, but somebody mentioned that it was maybe canon, so who knows? But I also thought it was interesting that some of the actual MCU actors have not come back for it. Like Robert Downey Jr. didn't come back to voice Iron Man. Chris Evans isn't back for Cap. Brie Larson is not back for Captain Marvel, and there's somebody else voicing Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
but everybody else. The
title offers an out as a says What If,
right?
Which so is like fine. That to me doesn't say canon at all.
Yeah,
this
like
is,
in the title it doesn't. It speaks to not being canonical.
Yeah. So there is, I don't know.
I didn't for 1 second think it was canonical at all.
Yeah, I don't know what their actual citation is here, but in Wikipedia, they are saying that even though Kevin Feige is overseeing the series, its stories will not be canon to the MCU.
Okay. Yeah, like the title. I feel like the title says that.
Yeah.
It literally says what if. Like, it doesn't say it happened. Like,
I don't disagree with you, but I want to go back to what the trailer says.
Yeah.
If time and reality are changeable, then the sacred timeline doesn't apply. Because if time and reality are changeable, then, I mean, so the whole premise of the show goes in contrast to what Loki and the TVA have said of sacred timeline.
Right, but then if you're calling it what if.
But then if you think about it.
No, but the whole premise, Liz, of what if is the Watcher talks about different realities and different times based on different choices that were made.
But so, I mean,
again, I don't disagree with you, but it flies in the face of even the concept in the MCU doesn't work if there's a sacred timeline. It doesn't have to be canonical because the canonical is the sacred timeline.
Yeah, but
canonical is sacred timeline. Branches are non-canonical.
Well, I mean, the TVA's technically lied about a lot of things. Like, I mean, they were like, look, we have, you know, this is what we have, and all of the people that work at the TVA were created specifically for the TVA, but we find out they're variants, you know, we found out that they were androids. And so there's a lot of stuff that we've been told, but it's kind of a lie. So maybe that has, like, there's something there, and if that's the case, it would make sense. Like, if that there's a lie there, then that something may work. I don't know. It makes sense in my head what I'm trying to say, and it's not being vocalized, but I don't know. The TVA has lied about a lot of stuff. So, like, quote unquote, the TVA, we don't actually know who's behind the sacred timeline stuff. So maybe next week's episode will reveal more, and that will give us maybe a clue to the what if series.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's an interesting discussion, and it's one of those things that I think it kind of continues to pull back and forth depending on what we're thinking. I mean, my thought on it is that the premise of what if is kind of saying, like, they're kind of using an explanation of, hey, if we could warp any of these things, here's, you know, different possibilities of what could happen. But that said, it's not canonical, so it really doesn't apply. But I don't know. Nonetheless, hey, you know what? We can watch it and enjoy it and have fun.
Yep.
But yeah, we may have something revealed this week in Loki, in the series finale of Loki, that may kind of give us some indication that, you know, the sacred timeline is broken, which I think we already know that's going to happen anyway, given what we expect is going to happen in No Way Home and Doctor Strange 2, et cetera, et cetera. So, let's see. The Good, the Bart, and the Loki. Did any of you guys watch this on Disney Plus?
I did.
Simpsons thing.
Tom Hiddleston was saying, so I had to watch it.
Lizzie, you said you did not?
Absolutely not. I don't watch The Simpsons. I can't.
I haven't watched The Simpsons in probably 15 years.
I deeply dislike The Simpsons, so that's a no thank you for me.
That's
Sheba,
fair.
Tell us what happened.
Yeah, Sheba, what'd you think about it?
Was I the only one who watched it?
I did.
Okay, I was like, oh no. Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun little thing. It was just Loki being Loki, and, you know, he... At the beginning, he's at the TVA, And they ask, they tell him like, oh, you know, you've committed all these crimes and things like that. And we're going to send you somewhere. We're going to send you somewhere. And he's like, oh, I'm going to go here and there. And they're like, Springfield. And he's like, wait, no, I don't want to go to Springfield. And then it's just, it was, and then Loki just kind of did his thing and interacted with the Simpsons. And I thought it was enjoyable. It was a cute little, little short. I like the Simpsons. I find their humor very smart and like you have to think a little bit about it. So I really enjoy it. And again, this was Tom Hiddleston was voicing Loki. So I was already a fan and I enjoyed it.
And that was actually about as long as the whole thing was. to be completely honest. And I was actually disappointed by that. I didn't realize it was a short. I thought they were going to have like a full episode of something.
Sure.
And really it went like 2.5 minutes. They interspersed some things into the credits, which maybe added another minute, but like that was it. There was nothing there. And really, like if you watch like the trailer for it, that was pretty much the whole thing. And so to me, it wasn't worth watching. I mean, it was fine, but
I knew it was a short. I thought it was enjoyable that they made fun and poked fun at themselves, being like, look, we have these Springfield Avengers, and they were just some of like the random characters, and they were like, this is what happens when Disney owns Marvel, and you were just like, and Fox, and it just was pretty much just randomness. Which I thought was a good few minutes of like I finished Loki, I finished the Monsters at Work, and I was like, I need something else. And then I watched that.
And that didn't get you very far.
No. And then I was like, all right, I gotta wait for Friday.
A few days ago, Marvel Studios announced that they will not be participating in Comic-Con at Home. So Comic-Con at Home, just like last year, this is San Diego Comic-Con. Later this month, they are doing basically a bunch of streamed panels and that kind of stuff. And while there will be some Marvel Comics panels, there will not be any Marvel Studios panels. Kind of the supposition that's milling around is that we're probably going to see later this year another Investors Day event like Disney had done last year, which turned out to be hugely popular. They gave us a ton of reveals, a lot of news. It was really outstanding. So there's a supposition that that's what we're going to get. That said, New York City Comic-Con is going as an in-person thing. So maybe Marvel Studios is going to have some stuff there. Yes, San Diego Comic-Con is technically going to be running a live event Thanksgiving weekend, which is foolish. maybe Marvel Studios is going to have some involvement in that. We don't know. You know, there's obviously a few options out there. What do you guys think about this? What do you want to see come from Marvel and when and how?
I mean, with Comic-Con at Home, I missed it last year. So I'm not really surprised that Marvel is not participating in it because maybe they won't have as many people. They won't get the numbers or the views that they might've gotten had they done an in-person thing. And especially if you're saying, Tim, that they're going to do the Investors Day thing, then they have a whole, like they have a specific time slot. Like they don't have like maybe an hour. They have literally a few, like, if they want to do it 2-3 hours, they can spend however much time they want. And it'll be just Disney related Marvel stuff and they can do whatever they want. Whereas with Comic-Con, they have a small amount of time to get anything and everything they want to talk about. They probably are like, hey, we can spend more time doing our own thing for our own panel and like for our own time. And we can spend as much time as we want to. So that makes more sense that they would want to do that instead of being part of somebody else's thing. And to be honest, I would be happier with the Investors Day thing because I really enjoyed that. And there was a lot of information and a lot of interesting things that we got from there. So, you know, I'd be fine with that. Sure. I was a little saddened during the Investors Day thing, even that they were like, here, we're going to put in a trailer here. And then we didn't get to see the trailers, just the investors did. And I was like, but I want to watch that trailer. So that was kind of, oh, but I want to see that. And you're not letting me. And there would just be like a little, like, we're going to come back soon type thing. But I did.
You're going to have to buy some stock in Disney.
I think so.
That's going to be the thing.
Yeah.
John, what kind of thoughts do you have on this? What do you want to see from Marvel, and when?
I think that with a lot of things, and I've never gone to any con. I'm perfectly fine if they want to do their own thing. And whether it's, hey, we're going to do a virtual release of all this information and it's going to cost you $2.99 to get in, or $2.99 on Disney Plus to get the information and be in a virtual hall, sure. Right. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about money. So if they can figure out a way to craft their own message and make money off it, I get it. It sucks. It takes away from the cons, but at the same time, good for them.
Lizzie?
I actually think eventually they'll have a Marvel con the way they do Star Wars Celebration, because Star Wars has like no presence at any con ever. And it makes sense that eventually, even though Marvel is a comic and it's Comic-Con, I have a feeling like they already want to pull to D23 because that's like in-house. They don't have to pay to be there, like whatever, blah, blah, blah. And so it makes sense that eventually they would close rank, have their own con, mm-hmm. and then maybe have a little presence at Comic-Con. But like the news comes out for Star Wars at Star Wars Celebration. It doesn't come out at NYCC or anywhere else. And I know that's comics versus not comics, but it's become such a pop culture event. It doesn't matter. And I really think that eventually they would pull and do their own thing, mm-hmm. or keep it at D23 because that's just all in-house. You don't have to pay to go anywhere. So if you're talking even from a business perspective, it makes sense to either keep it in-house or have a specific con for that thing. I mean, Star Wars is a con for a long time, only three movies, you know, mm-hmm. well, six movies, because it started with the first. I went to the first one and the third one. And so it was four movies technically, because it was the first movie was coming out. So, and Marvel is way more than that. So it kind of makes sense. Like they really could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And Lizzie, that's exactly where my thought is on this whole thing. I think there absolutely should be a Marvel con. I think that there is a big enough fan base for it. There is enough content out there, obviously. I mean, Star Wars Celebration existed for a long time off of three movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, some comics and some novels. And then, you know, then we had six movies, and that was for a long time. And Star Wars Celebration continued to exist on that before it then went to nine movies. And then, you know, now at 11 movies. And of course, the animated series and that kind of stuff. The MCU is even bigger. Right. And, you know, certainly not in duration, although the MCU draws on comics, which have content that goes back decades. I think that they could absolutely sustain a Marvel Con if they did something every, you know, two or three years. And I would absolutely go. I'd love really to see something cool. like that.
Yeah, it would be really cool if they kept the comic, like a portion of the comics at Comic-Con, just because like the purity of, I love going on and seeing like the comic vendors, because that feels like the pure form of like what it started as. And so like to keep a comic presence at Comic-Con makes sense to me. But mm-hmm. as far as like the movies, like sometimes they pull out completely. They've done that before. So mm-hmm. it makes sense that like if they had an MCU con specific, I mean, they could have so many panels.
Yeah.
So it's not even like you need to be a part of a bigger con to have like content. They're fine.
And you know that like when they do like Hall H presentations, literally everyone like fights to get into them.
Right. They're the biggest ones.
Yeah. So I mean, why not just have your own one where everyone can go and attend the whole thing?
Right.
Like they don't have to fight over who's going to go into a little small room, and they can just go and have different things going on at the same time, and everybody can go and pick and choose what they want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see a couple of quick things here from Kevin Feige. First of all, he said that Catherine Hahn is set to return to the MCU, quote, someday soon. So we will be getting more of Agatha. He also said that multi-picture contracts with actors are no longer going to be the norm.
That makes sense.
Which is, it's an interesting thing. And it does make sense to an extent. You know, and I see two sides of it, because on one hand, he has said that, you know, they're not going to do this 10-year long stretch of movies that's really just one big story arc like they did with the Infinity War. So, you know, that's not going to happen anymore. These are going to be much smaller contained stories. That said, you're still looking at some things which could be three or four films plus one or two streaming series. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, and are they just going to sign people on, you know, for one movie? I don't know. I don't know what the approach is going to be with this.
And like it makes sense as well, for especially because what ends up happening is a lot of the actors who are in the MCU end up becoming so big, and eventually they're like, hey, we want to do other things, but then they're locked in these contracts, so they can't really go out and explore and see other, like, other things they want to act in. Mm-hmm. It makes sense for somebody who's like, you know what, I don't really want to do anything else. I'm good with just being in these movies and that's it. But most actors who get into Hollywood want to do other things as well. So if they're not completely locked into the MCU, they can go on and do other things. And we know that Disney and Marvel has, like, you know, there's a certain persona you have to have while in the movies. So you might not be able to go off and do everything that you want to do, but once you're out, then you can go and, you know, try something completely different.
Yeah.
So that helps for the actors as well, that they can go and do their own thing. With that being said, Kevin Feige, I would be very happy to be in the MCU because I don't want to be in anything else. So if you need a, you know, Pakistani Muslim person, I volunteer as tribute. So, you know, just putting that out there, out there into the universe.
Nice. Love that.
Any other thoughts?
It feels like they're moving more towards like seasonal contracts, like with the shows and everything. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if they're not going to, I don't know how this translates, but I wonder if they're not going to consider the movies like a season of a show. And if you know, if they're kind of taking the temperature of, instead of doing this huge arc, they kind of have like their idea of what they want to go with and sort of like then renew their contract for like another, like maybe that's more of what they're thinking of. Mm-hmm. Instead of like, it doesn't make sense to just be like, hey, you're in one movie, bye. Like that's not going to happen. We know that. So it kind of makes sense the way they're doing the TV shows, you know, like in a contract, like that kind of a structure. I don't know if that's making any sense, but it kind of makes sense from a TV perspective. Obviously it's a movie, it's different, but that's mentally, I'm thinking of it that way. I don't know.
It's me. Yeah.
That's just my thought.
John, anything?
No, I think they did a great job of, I kept loving it. I mean, jumping in, but no.
All right.
Sorry.
Sometimes it's hard to jump in.
All right. Well, folks, that is going to do it for this episode of Guardians of the MCU. As I said, do head over to episode 167. I'm actually going to drop both of these episodes at the same time because, hey, it's our Black Widow review and everyone I'm sure is going to want to hear this. So do head over there, check it out. And other than that, we will catch you next week. Take care.